All right, Rabotai, good morning. Let's begin. A lot to do today, Baruch Hashem. A beautiful, beautiful daf ahead of us. Today's shiur is sponsored by Paul and Kathy Pollack in memory of Saul and Floret Pollack, Sarah Bas Avram, and Shmuel Ben Zachariah. May their neshamas have an aliyah and the families a nechama. Rabotai, so let's begin. We're picking up at the last Mishnah on Yud Beis Amud Beis. Hopefully you did your homework in Meretz Hashem. So good, it's posted on the WhatsApp. Kol atadir mechavera kodem es chavera. Let's listen to this. Anything that records more frequently than its friend comes before its friend. We'll say this is the principle of tadir v'sheino tadir tadir kodem. Whenever we have two things, right, two things, we're trying to figure out precedence. So precedence is determined by frequency. Whatever has greater frequency ultimately comes first. We'll discuss that in the Gemara. And similarly, anything that's holier than its friend comes before its friend as well. Para Mashiach upara Eida. If you have the par of the Kohen Gadol and the par of the Eida, that's the par ha'elam davar min atzibor. So we'll say, so what's the halacha? Omdim. And they both have to be offered. What's the halacha? Par ha'mashiach kodem lepara Eida v'chol ma'asov. Ultimately, again, the par of the Kohen Gadol comes before the par ha'elam davar of the tzibor for all things. Says the Gemara Menahani Midir. We'll say, from where do we know this concept of tadir v'sheino tadir tadir kodem? Amar Abaye de Amakra. So Abaye says, because the pasuk says, Milvad olas haboker asher li olas hatamid. Because the pasuk says, besides, Milvad olas haboker asher li olas hatamid. So, lamali. So, Gemara says, I don't understand why I need this phraseology. Michti, ksiv olas haboker. It already says the ola of the morning. Olas hatamid lamali. Rabosi, remember, this is a reference to the tamid shal shachar. So if it already says olas haboker, remember, there's two tamidim. There's a tamid shal shachar, tamid shal bein arbayim. The morning tamid offering, the afternoon tamid offering. If it already told me olas haboker, I already know that's the carbon tamid. Why does it have to tell me olas hatamid again lamali? Hachi kam rachmana. This is what the Torah means to say. Kol ditetira kadma. The teacher will say that this is the first carbon that is offered up. And why is it the first carbon that is offered up? I will say, why? Why? Because it's the olas hatamid. Because since it occurs, again, with daily frequency, since it is tamid, since it is constant and consistent, therefore it comes before anything else. We'll say from here, we learn the concept of tadir v'sheino tadir, tadir kodem. Thank you. So it says the Gemara. Viter. V'chal mekudesh mechaveru kadem es chaveru. And we'll say, similarly, again, anything that's holier than his friend comes before his friend. So we'll say, so what this means is as follows, that if you have two items, ultimately, again, of differing sanctity, and you're not sure which one to do first, you do the item of greater sanctity first. So we'll say, when we say, do the item of greater sanctity first, so we'll see exactly what that means. So the Gemara says, Minala, from where do we know, we'll say, that if you have two items, and one has greater sanctity, that the item of greater sanctity takes precedence, the Tani debe Rabbi Yishmael v'kidashto, but saying this is about the coin. You shall sanctify the coin. What does it mean you shall sanctify him? L'chol davar shebekdusha leftoach l'rishon. We'll say that with any matter of holiness, the coin always comes first. For example, Rishon, shebekhol davar shebekdusha leftoach, shebekhol davar shebekdusha leftoach rishon, or levarich rishon. We'll say he gets the first aliyah. He leads benching. Litomana Yafarishon, he's the first one to get the food passed to him. So the idea is that the coin takes kedimos for everything. So we'll say, so from here we see now why is the coin first? We attribute that to his inherent amplified kedusha. So therefore, from here we see that when you have two items, one which is more kaddish, one which is less kaddish, the item that is more kaddish ultimately takes precedence. Vayter, top of your gimel amud aleph, par coin mashuach upar eida. We'll say if you have the par of the coin gadol and the par of the eida, so the par of the coin gadol comes first. Says the Gemara, Menachani Mili, from where do we know this from? The Tan Rabbanu v'saraf also kasher saraf as a par harishon. The pasuk says you shall burn it the same way that you burnt the first par. Na tamud lomar harishon. We'll say, what does it mean harishon? Shehe rishon kodem lepar ha'eda b'chol ma'asav. We'll say what it means is that the first one, i.e. the Kohen Gadol's par, shall come before the Eda's par for all matters. Tana Rabbanan. Par Kohen Mashiach u'para Eda omdim. We'll say, so now the Gemara is going to discuss a number of different, what we'll call, order conflicts and how we resolve them. So par Kohen Mashiach u'para Eda. We'll say, if you have the par of the Kohen Gadol and the par of the Eda omdim, Omdim means they're both standing to be sacrificed. So which one do we sacrifice? Par Kohen Mashiach Kodum LaPara Eida. The par of the Kohen Gadol comes before the par of the Eida B'chol Ma'asav. Why is that? Hoyel U'Mashiach Mechaper Ve'Eida Miskaperes. Because it will say, since the Kohen Gadol is going to have Kapara through his par, and the Klal is going to have, and Klal Yisrael is going to have Kapara through its par, Dinhu Shiyaktim HaMechaper LeMiskaper. We'll say, who affects the atonement of the Klal? Who affects the atonement of the Klal? It's the Kohen Gadol. So therefore it makes sense that the one who is going to affect atonement achieves atonement first before those for whom he is affecting atonement. So therefore, again, essentially, since the Klal needs the Kohen Gadol, so the Kohen Gadol needs to do his kapara first, and then he could do the kapara for the Klal. V'chinu omer v'chiper ba'ado ba'ad beso. U'ba'ad kol kal Yisrael. We'll say a couple of other precedence issues. Par helam davar shal tibor, kodim lepar shal avodas kochavim. Similarly, again, I will say, if the tibor has to offer up two things. One is a par ha'elam davar shal tzibor, and a par avodas kochavim. So remember again, those are two different, same concept, both are situations where the tzibor did something inadvertently, whose intentional violation would be a chiyuv, either kares or misa. One case was, let's say, I don't know, the tzibor ate chalev, and the second case was they worshipped avodah zarah. So now both of these paros have to be offered. Which one comes first? To which the Gemara says, the par ha'elam davar shal tzibor comes before the par of avodah zarah. My taima, haichatos v'hai'ola. Because it was said, the par ha'elam davar shal tzibor is a chatos, and the par of avodah zarah is an ola. And I will say, as we're going to see, the halacha is that a chatos comes before an ola. V'tanya, the Gemara says, v'hikrev es asher lechatos rishona, he shall offer up that which is the chatos first. Ma tamud lomar, what does this come to teach us? If in this context it's coming to teach us that the chatos ultimately again is offered up first, the pasuk already tells you, we'll say that the second carbon that's offered is an ola. If I already know the second carbon that's offered is an ola, then the first that's offered is a chatos. If that's the case, why the need for rishona? To which the Gemara says, Ela zeb banav. Rather, I will say, because this pasuk is teaching me a principle. What's the principle? Sheyuhu kol chatos kodmos la'olo sabayim. I will say to teach us that anytime you have a chatos and an ola being offered, chatos always takes precedence over ola. Chatos comes first. The kaimalon, dafilu chatos ha'ov kodemes la'ola spain. I will say first wide line, ayin gimel amud aleph, and to teach us what? That even, I will say, when we see a chatos comes before an ola, that's true even if what? Even if the chatos in question is a chatos ha'ov. Supposed to say, I might have thought you want to tell me a chatos takes precedence over an ola, that's fine. Only when we're talking about like real animals. But in this case over here, we're talking about a chatos ha'of. I would have said that certainly a large animal takes precedence over the chatos of. No, chatos always comes first, even if it's a chatos ha'of. We'll say next case. Par avodas kochavim, kodim l'sira avodas kochavim. We'll say the par, remember again, when the kahal commits an inadvertent act of avodah zarah, they bring both a par and soyer for their atonement. The par comes before the soyer. Am I? But why is that? Hai chatos v'hai ola. We'll say, here's the problem. The seir is offered up as a chatos, and the par is offered up as an ola. Now, what we just said before is that what? Is that a chatos always comes before an ola. Yet, what's happening over here? The ola comes before the chatos. What's the pshat? Bar Mari, chatos avodas kochavim chaser aleph. Well, see, this is the exception to the rule. Under normal circumstances, the chatos is always offered up before an ola. This chatos is different. Why? Because there's an aleph missing from the word chatos in this context. Lichatos ksiv. It says lichatos without the aleph. We'll say, therefore, again, what do you see from here? The fact that the aleph is missing, we'll say that aleph represents what? That aleph represents one. Right? That aleph represents the precedence of the chatos over the ola. The fact that the chatos is missing here indicates to us that what? This case is the particular exception to that rule. In this case, the ola will come first. So the Gemara says, Rava Amar kemishpat ksiv bei. Ultimately, again, it says kemishpat, and therefore, again, Rashi says over here, it's the first short line. In Rashi on the right hand side, Kumishvat Ksibbe, the paradav odos kochavim, the basar ksiva as linon va'ola beresha ksiva. So we'll say Kumishvat Ksibbe means, the Gemara is darshaning to mean, that you offer up these karbanos as they are written in the pasuk, and since ultimately again the ola is written first, therefore we offer up the ola first. Good. Seir avodos kochavim, kodum seir nasi. We'll say the seir of avodos kochavim comes before the seir of the nasi, the seir of the melech. My time. What's the reason for that? Haitzibur v'hayochid, because we'll say ultimately again, the seer of the tzibur is a communal offering. The seer of the nazir is an individual offering, and communal offerings come before individual offerings. I was know what you're thinking, but that's, we didn't say that by the kohen, right? By the kohen gadol, ultimately his karma came first. But here the Gemara explained it makes sense that the kohen gadol's karma has to come first, because again, remember the kohen gadol is the person who affects the kapara on behalf of the klal. Therefore, again, it makes sense that he first achieves his personal kapara. Then he could achieve kapara on behalf of the klal. So the Gemara says, "Seir nasi kodum l'siras yochid." The seer of the king comes before the seer of an individual. My time. What's the reason? Hai melech v'hai hediot. Makes sense. We'll say because he's a king. Therefore, the king comes first before the regular person. Seiras yochid kodemes l'kivsas yochid. We'll say the seer of an individual comes before the keves of an individual. Rabbi Yosef Hilgi Rashi says over here on the right hand side, about 4 lines into the short lines, he says, I'm sorry, 3 lines in, yeah, 4 lines in. Seir yochid kodum kivsas yochid kigon shayu shnayim zehevi kisba vezehevi seira. Was that two individuals, regular guys, bringing karbanos. One is bringing a kesev, one is bringing a seer, right? One is bringing a sheep, one is bringing a goat. So we'll say, what's the halacha? So the seer comes first. The seer comes first. So the Gemara says, why? V'hatanya kivsas yachid kodemes l'siras yachid. But we learned elsewhere that the keves of an individual, the sheep, comes before the goat. To which the Gemara says, Amar Abaye Tanaihi. Ultimately, again, t'mach lokes tanoim. Mar savra seer adifa. So we'll say, one says the seer is more important. Why? Because the seer, Rabbi Osai, is the animal that's chosen to be the individual offering to atone for an inadvertent transgression of Avodah Zarah. Umar Savar Kispa Adiva, Shekein Nisrab Sabba'alyo. And the other opinion says, no, a keves, Rabbi Osai, is more chashev. Why? Because a keves has the additional prohibition of chaylev. Okay, so we'll say, so ultimately, and it's machlokas, which one would come first? Omer, kodem lekeves, sabayimo. We'll say the carbon omer, which is the barley offering, is offered up before the accompanying animals which come with it. Shtei alechem, similarly again, the 2 loaves of Shavuos, kodem lekvasim abayimimohem. They are also offered up before the animal offerings which accompany that bread offering. So the Gemara says, "Zaklah." This is the general principle. Kol davar haba begin liyom kol dem ledavar haba begin lechem. We'll say here's the general klal: any carbon that is brought because of the specialness of the day always comes before those things that are brought simply because of the meal offerings themselves. So also, this is another way of saying, if you look at Rashi, Rashi's begin yom, biglal yom, keves galal omer, kvasim, that's really biglal, keves biglal omer, kvasim biglal shtei halechem. So I'll say, ultimately, again, the idea is that anything that is brought as a unique carbon for the day always comes before the karbanos that are brought because of the unique offering of the day. So, for example, the carbon omer comes with its accompanying animal sacrifices. The shtei alechem, the 2 loaves of Shavuos, come with their accompanying animal sacrifices. The carbon omer and the shtei alechem are the unique karbanos for Pesach and for Shavuos. Those come first because they are associated with the special nature of the day, and they come before the accompanying animal sacrifices, which are only brought because of those special karbanos. Good, says the Mishnah. We'll say, fascinating sugya. Ha'ish kodem l'isha lachi osu l'hashev aveda. A man takes precedence over a woman to save them. Or if you have a choice between saving 2 people, a man and a woman. So a man takes precedence over a woman. U'l'hashev aveda. And I know. This is, should have had Yehuda give the daf today. So right, u'l'hashev aveda. Let's say, and to go ahead and to return a lost object. This is what you understand the svara of this. The svara of this is there's a cost-benefit analysis over here, which is that since a man, b'pashtos, because a man is mitzvah in more mitzvos, then ultimately, again, Because ultimately we save him first. So the Gemara says as follows. So the, again, we'll just, don't say value. I didn't say that. So the Gemara says as follows. Well, hashiv aveda. And to go ahead and to return a lost object. Yet, I will say yet, va'isha kodemes le'ish, liksus, yet, I will say, if again, a person has an obligation, if the person needs clothing, and there's both a man and a woman who both need clothing, so we'll say, so what's the halacha? We give the clothing to the woman before the man, ulahotzi mi beis hashevi, as well as to redeem from captivity. Bizman sheshneim omdim bekalkala ha'ish kodem li'isha. So we'll say, so again, so what's interesting is as follows. So the Mishnah tells me that if I have a choice between saving a man and a woman, I have to save the man, and ultimately, again, returning a lost object, return the lost object to the man. Yet, again, when it comes to redeeming from captivity, a woman comes first. Similarly, again, for clothing purposes, a woman comes first. Yet, I will say, interestingly enough, Bizman sheshneim omdim bekalkala. I will say, what does this mean? Rashi says, omdim bekalkala ha'ish lemishkav zachar. If they are both going to be violated, a man or a woman, so the halacha is ha'ish kodem le'isha. Ultimately, again, the obligation is to redeem the man from being violated before redeeming the woman from being violated. Now, I will say, interestingly enough, we'll see this, the reason why a woman takes precedence in being redeemed from captivity over a man is because of the likelihood of her being violated in captivity. So it's interesting, again, these two pieces in the Mishnah. Apparently, again, in the first part of the Mishnah, the probability of the man being violated in captivity was much less. And therefore, again, the degradation he would experience would therefore be much less. Therefore, he might be afflicted, he might be tort, whatever it might be, but Lamaisian is not going to be violated. She's going to be violated, therefore we redeem her. Yet, interestingly enough, in a situation where we know that he is going to be violated, in that case, I will say, because his act of violation is something clearly unnatural. So therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, the Mishnah dictates that we redeem him first. Ten Rabbanon, let's listen to this case. Let's say, again, a person is himself, his father, and his Rebbe. They're all in captivity. Let's say, and again, we'll call him Reuven. So Reuven's in captivity together with him. Obviously, he's in captivity, his father and his Rebbe. And he only has enough money to redeem one person. Who does he redeem? Who called them the Rabbo? Both say, you redeem yourself. Right? Chayecha called me. The first thing you do is you redeem yourself from captivity. He becomes before his Rebbe. The Rabbo called them La'aviv. His Rebbe comes before his father. So as I said, remember, we saw this already in Maseches Kiddushin, right? When there's this tension between one's Rebbe and one's father. However we define one's Rebbe, right? Whatever that definition is. But again, we've seen this concept that as much as a father brings me into this world, my Rebbe gives me life in this world and in Olam Haba. And as such, again, my Rebbe takes precedence, so I redeem my Rebbe. And therefore, again, but imo kodemes l'kulam. I will say, if I'm with my mother in captivity, so ransoming my mother ultimately, again, takes precedence over everything. Chacham kodem l'melech Yisrael. I will say, listen to this. A Talmud Chacham takes precedence over a king. Now, I will say, now here, the Gemara is going to speak about a whole discussion about precedence, about who takes precedence over who. I will say now, the Mishnah is not necessarily telling me precedence over for what. Meaning, what is the precedence for? So again, it could be captivity, but it could be a variety of other things as well, which we'll discuss. So Chacham kodem lamelech. So ultimately, again, Talmud Chacham comes before a king, lamelech Yisrael. Chacham shemes. Ain't why is there? I will say because Chacham shemes ain't lo nekiyotzevo. I will say because if we lose a Talmud Chacham, I will say so. Stamp person can't be a Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham, Talmidei Chachamim are a unique breed. So if a Talmud Chacham is lost, that is sometimes an irreplaceable loss for Klal Yisrael. Melech Yisoshev says, this is amazing. If the king dies, Kol Yisrael ru'uyim l'malchus. I will say, interesting, anybody can become king. Right? Anyone could become a leader. Right? So there's a lot to say about this. I will say, but again, it's an amazing, amazing thing. But the Gemara says, Talmud Chacham is a unique personality, which cannot be easily replaced. A leader can be replaced. Leader can be replaced. Melech kodum l'kohen gadol. The king comes before the kohen gadol. Shneimar vayumar melech aleihem ki chui machem me'avdi adoneichem. So as I say, interestingly enough, the Gemara's raya to this is just a pasuk. It's just a pasuk. This is the king speaking to the kohen gadol and says, take with you from the servants of your master. So he's referring to the kohen gadol as his servant. Kohen gadol kodum l'navi. The kohen gadol takes precedence over the navi. Shneimar Umashach oso sham tzadak hakoin v'nasan ha-navi. Hikdim tzadak l'nasan. So we'll say, he puts the Kohen Gadol on the Pasuk before the Navi. Va'omer shemana Yoshua Kohen Gadol atav re'acha. Yochal had yotos hayu. You might have thought that at the end of the day, maybe they're just had yotos. Talmud lomar ki amig regular kohen ki anshe mofes hema vein mofes ela navi. So we'll say shneimar v'nasan elecha osu mofes. Fine. Mashuach b'shemen ha-mishcha kodem l'mruba v'vigadim. So a kohen gadol anointed with shemen ha-mishcha takes precedence over a kohen gadol who was anointed by wearing the extra clothing. So meruba v'gadim kohen l'mashiach shavar. A meruba v'gadim, the kohen gadol anointed with extra clothing, meaning with the calling of the Kohen Gadol, takes precedence of also over a former Kohen Gadol. Even if that former Kohen Gadol ultimately was anointed with Shemen HaMishcha, Sharamach Maskerio, a Kohen Gadol of also who is temporarily disqualified because of a seminal emission, so he takes precedence over, I'm sorry, I read that wrong. Meruba v'gadim kodol Mashiach sh'avar machmas kerio. Sorry, I read that incorrectly. A kohen gadol who was anointed because of clothing takes precedence over a kohen gadol who's temporarily disqualified because of a seminal emission. Mashiach sh'avar machmas kerio. A kohen gadol ultimately temporarily disqualified because of a seminal emission. Kodem le'avar machmas mumo. Bosei takes precedence over a kohen gadol who is disqualified because of a mum. Avar machmas mumo. At the end of the day, Kohen Gadol is qualified because of a mum, takes precedence over Kodim L'Mashuach Milchama, takes precedence over the Kohen Gadol who was anointed for the purpose of leading the army out to war. Mashuach Milchama, Kodim L'Sgan. The Mashuach Milchama, Rabbi Osei, the Kohen anointed for war, Kohen Gadol anointed for war, takes precedence over the Sgan. The Sgan is the assistant Kohen Gadol. He's the Kohen Gadol, he's the standby Kohen Gadol, always ready to jump in if needed. Sgan, Kodim L'Amarkal. Or the Amarko. So the Skan takes precedence over the Amarko. My Amarko, Amrav Chista Amarkula. We'll say if you look at Rashi, it's the last Rashi, second to last Rashi, on the right hand side of the daf. Amarkala, Shemamuna al Kulam, Vein Mashivin al Dvarav. So we'll say this individual essentially was the person in charge of the Beis HaMikdash. He was in charge of the, he was like the Beis HaMikdash executive director. He was, or the, maybe even the CEO. He's in charge of the operations of the Beis HaMikdash. So the scan comes before the Amarkel. My Amarkel, so I'm going to Amarkel, fine. Amarkel called them the Gizbar. The Amarkel comes before the Gizbar. We'll say, what's the Gizbar? Rashi says, Hamamuna ala Otros. He's the CFO, right? He's the treasurer, right? He's in charge of all of the money of the Beis HaMikdash. Gizbar called them the Rosh Mishmar. So we'll say, the Gizbar comes before the Rosh Mishmar. We'll say, remember again, the Kohanim were divided up into 24 Mishmoros. Each Mishmar had a head. So the Gizbar comes before the Mishmar, the Rosh Mishmar. Rosh Mishmar called them the Beis Av, Rosh Beis Av. But remember again, so the Mishmoros were comprised of multiple Bate Avos, multiple families, and each grouping of families had a head. So the Gizbar, so the Rosh Mishmar comes before the Rosh Beis Av, Rosh Beis Av, called them the Kohen Hedjot. And the Rosh Beis Av ultimately, again, comes before the Kohen Hedjot. So we'll say, this is the entire hierarchy of Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara says now, we'll say, this is amazing. We'll say, this is such a fascinating Shaila. Imagine the following situation. The Skan and the Mashuach Melchama are walking down the street. This is not a joke. This is not a real case, right? So the Skan Kohen Gadol and the Mashuach Melchama are walking down the street. And we'll say, what happens? They find a mace mitzvah. Now, again, the situation is such that they both do not need to attend to the corpse. One of them could attend to the corpse, but obviously, whoever attends to the corpse becomes what? Becomes tamei, and therefore, by definition, disqualified for at least a 7-day period. So what's the shaila? Who should take it for the team? As well as that, which really is a fundamental shaila of asking, who is less important? Meaning, who could the klal sooner do it out for the next 7 days? So this is the Skan, the assistant Kohen Gadol, and the Mashuach. Also, listen to this. Armar Zuch Rei Rav Nachman, Toshma Desanyo, Skanu Mashuach, Melcham Hashayim, Mahalchim, Adarech, Upaga, Mameis Mitzvah. So also, here's the amazing part. We seem to have a Brisa that explicitly discusses this. If the Skan Kohen Gadol and the Mashuach were walking down the road and they bump into a Mameis Mitzvah, Mutav, Shiyitami Mashuach, Melchama, Va'al Yitami Skan. We'll say it is better for the Mashuach Melchama to become Tamei and not the Skan Kohen Gadol. Why? Shimi Erebo Psu B'Kohen Gadol Nichnas Haskan U'Meshamesh Tachtov. Because we'll say at the end of the day, that's the point of the Skan. We'll say, you know, anything could happen to the Kohen Gadol. He could become Tamei, he could die, there's a variety of things. And the whole point of the Skan, we'll say, is that what? There should never be a lapse in religious leadership. The Skan is always ready to jump in. As such, again, we always need the Skan on standby. So in this case, better better for the Mashuach Milchama to be the one who jumps in, let him become Tamei. I think it's about 1 second. V'atanyo, Mashuach Milchama kol dem l'skan. Rabbi say, here's the problem. In our hierarchy, Rabbi say, what happened? In our hierarchy, so we went ahead and we said that the Mashuach Milchama, right, that the Kohen Gadol anointed for battle, comes before the skan. Right, we're saying in that whole order, he comes before this gun. So which one is? We're saying this is an amazing Gemara. Am Ravina Kitanya Hahi Lachyoso. We're saying here's what's amazing. When it comes to Tuma, if one of them has to become Tame, we tell them Ashuach Melchama, you become Tame. You become Tame. When it comes to, we'll say, if there's a choice between saving one of them, we save the Mashuach Melchama over this gun. What's the pshad? But say, look at Rashi. This is amazing. Rashi says over Lachyoso. If you look, it's the left hand column of Rashi, second line Lachyoso. Who called them Laskan? So ultimately, again, he comes before the skan. So the mashuach. Why? Mishum detzibor tzrichim lo limshoch lemashuach lemashuach milchama letzorech milchama tvei misgan. But say, here's what's amazing. At the end of the day, from a day-to-day operational perspective, Rabbi, who's more important? Who's more important? The skan. The skan is more important, meaning on a day-to-day. Rabbi, because why? Because, I mean, remember, what's the logic behind that? Because halacha lemaisik, and war doesn't happen every single day. War does happen every day. But we don't make the assumption that lemaisik, again, I'm going to need the mashuach milchama today. So, okay, from a logistical perspective, it's more important for me to have easy access to the skan than it is to the mashuach. Fine. But we'll say, at the end of the day, if I have a choice between saving one, Rabbi will say, who's more important on a Klal Yisrael level? It's the Mashuach Milchama. Why, Rabbi will say? Because in Milchama, the army needs Chizuk. Without a spiritually fortified army, without ultimately, again, an army to have someone at its helm to give them Chizuk to be successful, the nation is in existential danger. And as such, from a Klal Yisrael perspective, if you could only save one of them, we save the Mashuach Mechana. We'll say it's an incredible, incredible idea. That from a Klal Yisrael perspective, he who gives Chizuk to the Klal is more important than he who stands in for the Kohen Gadol. From a day-to-day logistical perspective, the skan takes precedence because we're assuming we'll be okay without the Mashuach for a couple of days. From a Klal Yisrael perspective, it is the Mashuach, ultimately again, who takes precedence because he's the one who gives Chizuk to the Klal. Incredible, incredible. Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah. Kohen called him a Levi. Well, these are amazing Gemaras. So the Kohen comes before a Levi. Levi, the Yisrael, Levi comes before Yisrael. Yisrael, the Mamzer. Yisrael comes before a Mamzer. And also, when we say comes before, this could be for certain circumstances, like saving someone, but it could also say for simple things like who gets the chicken first at the table. You know, like simple things at the end of who gets the covet first. So who he's benching. So the Gemara says, so Yisrael comes before Mamzer. Mamzer comes before Nisin. Well, so remember again, we've spoken about the Nisinim many times. The Nisinim very quickly were one of the nations who lived in Canaan. When Yeshua comes with Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, the Nisinim are scared. So what happens? They disguise themselves as a foreign nation. They make a treaty with Yeshua. They convert. They join the ranks of Klal Yisrael. What happens? Then they go ahead and it's discovered that they lied. And they were, in fact, one of the indigenous nations of Canaan. However, because Yeshua already made a treaty with them, so he could not go back on his word. So they were relegated to a lower status within Klal Yisrael. Again, also their conversion was suspect on many different levels. So the idea over here is that the Mamzer comes before Nisin. Nisin Leger. Then a sin comes before a convert. The ger le evan mishuchrar. We'll say again, we'll discuss this hierarchy. Ger comes before an evan mishuchrar, an emancipated slave. We'll say, remember again, an emancipated evan. Now remember, an evan kanani, once he or she is emancipated, becomes what? Becomes Jewish. Right? So the idea is that the ger has precedence over the evan mishuchrar. Amos, I will say, when does this hierarchy apply? Bizman shekulam shavin. We'll say, this applies that they're all quote unquote equal. If you have a mamzer who's a tamut chacham and a kohen gadol who's an am haaretz, which also we know historically did happen, there were kohanim gedolim who were am haaretz. So also if you have those two people, then ultimately again the mamzer tamut chacham ultimately takes precedence over the kohen gadol, which also tells you something amazing in Yiddishkeit, which is. Conferred status is wonderful. Earned status is even more important. So the idea is, okay, all things being equal, We have stations. There's Kohanim, there's Levim, there's another incredible Moser. We're not all equal. People are, I know, it's offensive to some, right? We're not all equal. People are different. They have different roles. They have different stations. Now, again, we're all equally great. But not everybody is the same. That's ultimately what the Mishnah is teaching me. Rabbi said, but this incredible yisod, in that halacha lemaisa, what I go ahead and, what I earn for myself, right? The status I earn for myself is greater than any status that life confers upon me. So the Kohen Gadol is fantastic. But if I'm a mam, but if a person is a mamzer, and I'm a Talmud Chacham, I'm even greater than the Kohen Gadol, I'm a Oretz. Good. Kohen Kodim Levi. Let's say, from where do we know that the Kohen comes before the Levi? Shenemar, B'nei Amram, Aaron and Moshe. Vayazel Aaron lahakriv, lakdisha kolesh kadoshim. Fine, so we'll say ultimately again you see that it's Vayavdil Aaron. So Aaron comes before the Kohen, comes before the Levi. Levi kodim li Yisrael. Hano the Levi comes before Yisrael. Shneemar. Be'isahi hivdil Hashem eshevet Levi mitokal Yisrael. Yisrael kodim l'mamzer. Yisrael comes before a mamzer. We'll say, where do we know that from? Listen to this. Shezeh meyuchas. Shezeh ina meyuchas. So we'll say, the Gemara interesting enough. So for Kohen coming before a Levi, Levi coming before Yisrael, so we'll say, those the Gemara quotes psukim. How do I know that Yisrael comes before a mamzer? So Gemara doesn't quote a pasuk. The Gemara just says, Shezeh meyuchas, v'zeh ina meyuchas. This one has yichos, and this one doesn't have yichos. We'll say, what does it mean this one has yichos? This is not like incredible, like family tree yichos. This is much simpler, right? One is the product of an illicit union, and one is not. That's what it means ultimately by yichos in this case. Mamzer kodim lenosin. A mamzer comes before a nosin. Why? Zeba mitipa ksheira. The zeba mitipa psoba. So this is amazing. Because the mamzer, as much as the mamzer comes from an illicit union, he comes from tipa ksheira, which means he comes from two Jews. An illicit union, but comes from two Jews. The Nesin does not. The Nesin does not hail from Jews. Nesin kodim lager, but yet the Nesin comes before the ger. Why? Ze gadol imanu bikdusha, v'ze lo gadol imanu bikdusha, because the Nesin avos, I grew up within the ranks of Klal Yisrael, therefore he grew up within the community of Kedusha, whereas the ger did not. The ger did not grow up in the community of Kedusha, therefore again he has a status after the Nesin. Ger kodem la'eved meshuchrar, ultimately again the ger comes before the eved meshuchrar. Why is that? Ze haya bechlal aror, veze lo haya bechlal aror. We'll say again, when it comes to Avadim, this is going back to Noach, as we'll discuss. So remember again, so Noach says, aror Kenan. Right? When he curses Kenan, he says that Kenan is going to be an Eved. We see from here that an Eved Kenani is aror. Therefore again, the Eved Meshuchrar originally was in the Parsha of aror, of being cursed. Now he's not. The Ger was never in the Parsha, ultimately again, of being aror. So, Emasai, Bizman Shekulam Shabin. But I'll say, when is this true that we have this hierarchy? Only ultimately, again, when everyone is equal. Minhani Mili. So, Amar of Acha, Rabbi Chanina Damakra, Yikarihi Mipninim. But I'll say, the Pasuk says, so beautifully by Mishle, Yikari Mipninin, she is more precious than pearls. Abosai, now Chazal tells us this is a reference to Torah. So what do you see from here? Mikoin Godo Shenichmas Lifnai V'Lifnim. That in other words, he who has that which is more precious than pearls, it's a little bit of a play on word. Mipninim, the Gemara Darshins, is that one who possesses Torah is more precious ultimately than what? Than he who goes in Lifnai V'Lifnim. Than he who goes in to the Kodesh Kadoshim. A reference to the fact that the idea that what? That the Mamzer Talmud Chacham is even greater than the Kohen Gadol Am Haaretz. We'll say this here, let's finish this up. He says, Tanya Rashbi Omer, Rashi Bar Yochai says, Bedinhu, Shiyaktin Eben Meshuchar Lager, Shezeh Gadol Imanu Bikdusha, Vezeh Lo Gadol Imanu Bikdusha. So Rashbi says something very interesting. Really, I would have thought, based on what we said before, that the Eben Meshuchar should really take precedence over the Ger. Why? Because at the end of the day, this one grew up in the community of Kedusha. The Eved, remember again, the Eved Kenani grew up in a Jewish home in the midst of the Jewish community. The Ger did not. So I would have thought that again, the Eved Kenani should take precedence over the Ger. Ella, ze haya bechlal aror, veze lo haya bechlal aror. But rather again, this one, the Eved was bechlal aror, was under the umbrella of an aror of a curse, and the Ger was not. There's a lot more to say. So we're going to spend a little bit more time on this on Shabbos, but this idea, if you understand what just happened over here, the Gemara puts forward a whole hierarchy, but then kind of blows up the hierarchy, right? Because again, the Gemara creates these objective classes of people, or I should say, order of people, but then what does it say? At the end of the day, a mamzer talmid chacham is greater than a kohen gadol, which tells you what? That my personal status ultimately, again, overrides the hierarchy, which effectively does what? Negates the hierarchy. So what's the pshat? So again, all kidding aside, what Chazal, I think, are just trying to impress upon us, we'll say, is that there are different segments of Klal Yisrael. You know, unfortunately, we live in a society which preaches that everyone is supposed to be the same. Right? And everyone should have the same this and the same that. I'll say it's not true. If everybody in the world is the same, right, then ultimately, again, mankind doesn't progress. Right? It's borei nefasho surabos v'chesronam. You have your chesronos, I have my chesronos. If we have the same strengths and we have the same weaknesses, if we're the same people, then the mice again, the world, then humanity is deficient. What Chazal is trying to teach us is that there are different kinds of people. And different people have different roles. And different people have different responsibilities. And different people could do different things. Not everybody could do the same things. A woman can't do some of the things that a man could do. A man can't do some of the things that a woman can do. A Kohen can't do some things that a Yisrael could do. A Yisrael can't do certain things that a Levi could do. It doesn't mean that somebody's better, somebody's worse, somebody's this. They're different, fundamentally different roles. And what's the goal in life? Both say the goal in life is not to try to be like someone else. The goal in life is not to say, well, if you can do that, then I should be able to do that as well. That's not the goal in life. The goal in life is to actualize your personal greatness. So you're a mamzer? I'm not saying that to anyone, right? I'm saying, sir, right? So you're a mamzer? Great. Become a talmud chacham. Become a talmud chacham. Actualize your greatness in your stational life. I want to tell you something amazing. If you become a mamzer talmud chacham, you're greater than the greatest kohen gadol. See, I both say, you can say, well, if you're a mamzer, you really should try it. Right? I want to be a Levi. I want to be a Levi. I don't want to be a mamzer. I want to be a Levi. No, you're a mamzer. You are a mamzer. You're a mamzer yesterday. You're a mamzer tomorrow. You're going to be a mamzer next week. You're going to be a mamzer for the rest of your life. But just because you're a mamzer, your tachlis is to actualize your greatness in your particular situation in life. Not to try to chop someone else's greatness, not to try to emulate someone else's greatness, or not to try to transform your greatness because you don't like this greatness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. You want something else. The goal is to actualize your identity with the identity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you, and not to try to chop someone else's because you think that's something better. That's what Chazal is teaching us. They're not teaching us that this one's better than this one, or this one's higher than this one. They're trying to teach us, borei nefashos rabos. Rabos has many different people, and everyone serves their role, everyone serves their purpose, and my goal is to try to figure out how to actualize my potential based on the situation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me in life. The Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Show Tamidim Rabbi Elazar. Well, so listen to this. These are amazing Gemaras. So Tamidim asked Rabbi Elazar, "They maha kelev makir eskono, v'chatul eno makir eskono. Why is it that dogs recognize their masters and cats do not?" So we'll say. So did I skip? I'm sorry, thank you. So Shalot Hamidah Shabbat Lazar Rabbi Salak, sorry. Mevneimaha kol rotzen lisa giores, veina kol rotzen lisa meshuchares. Why is it that every man runs to marry a convert, and yet they don't run to marry an emancipated shikha? Now we'll see, now Rashi points out over here, rotzen doesn't mean run after. Hirashi's gear says rotzen. Rotzen lisa giores, shemis rotzen lisa giores, milisa meshuchares. People are willing to marry a woman, a man is willing to marry a woman who converted, but yet you're not willing to marry a shifcha who's a mishuchreres. What's the pshat with that? Amr lahem, zuhai sebechal aror, v'zulai sebechal aror. So he gives a simple answer, could be that the giores was never under the umbrella of aror, whereas the mishuchreres was. Dover acher, zuhai sebecheskas shamor, v'zelo hai sebecheskas shamor. We'll say the other issue is that avadim in general were known to be immoral, and therefore, again, there's a concern that who knows what this woman did in her past life before she was a mishuchreres. Versus the Gioras, Rosa is actually quite interesting. Rashi says over here, Rashi says the lashon acher in the giores bayel legiure umishameres atzma lefi shebedaita lezgayer. It's possible that this woman wanted to convert for many years, and therefore, again, even before she converted, she was careful with her morality. So therefore, a man feels more comfortable getting into this relationship knowing that this woman has hopefully been moral throughout her life, not just since she converted. Shalu Talmidei v'Rabbi Elazar, mivnei ma hakelev makires kono v'chatul eino makires kono. So they asked Rabbi Elazar, why is it that the dog recognizes its owner and the cat that is not? Rabbi Elazar, which I guess Chazal are referring to the difference in pet qualities over here, how a dog is known to be, you know, man's best friend, right? And yet, again, the cat is not. Again, I guess the cat does not demonstrate the same level of fidelity or allegiance to its master like the dog does. Amar lahem, uma ocha mima sha'achbar ocha mishakeach. So we'll listen to this. Remember, again, this goes back to what we said before. This goes out to, well, actually, we'll discuss this more on Amud Beis, that if he who eats from what the mouse eats, also we'll discuss this on Amud Beis, if he who eats from what the mouse eats forgets his learning, one who goes and eats the mouse all the more so. So we'll say the Gemara attributes the cat's lack of allegiance to its owner from the fact that it consumes mice. And those who consume mice ultimately, again, forget things. We'll see, forget their learning. We'll discuss this on Amud Beis. And therefore, the cat forgets its owner as well. So listen to this. It's a fundamental question. Why is it that mice, right, that mice are like the victims of everything, right? Meaning everyone runs after mice, right? So the animal kingdom, mice are run after, human beings kill mice. Why is it that everyone has this control over mice? We'll say this is an incredible, incredible Gemara. Mipnei shesuran ra. You know why? Because mice have bad midos, right? Masura means that they're inherently bad. What does it mean they're inherently bad? So mahi, so rava amar afilu galimi gaitzi. Because they eat through even clothing. So we'll say, here's what's amazing. What the Gemara says is as follows. It's one thing if a rodent goes ahead and eats food. Okay, it has to sustain. But mice will chew through clothing as well. There's no hanof, there's no benefit that the mouse gets from chewing through clothing. Chazal saw this as just a destructive midah. To cause some level of destruction where there's some personal benefit, okay, we can hear that. But to just objectively chew through clothing, we'll say, that's suran ra. To just needlessly destroy, that's a bad midah. That's a bad trait. And because of that bad trait, ultimately, again, everyone overtakes the mouse. Rav Papa, Rav say Abba Deis, Rav Papa says, afilu shufsa mari gaitzi. They even go ahead and chew on the handle of the shovel. The idea being that they cause unnecessary destruction. So because of that, the Gemara says that suran ra, we'll say it's an amazing thing, right? That causing unnecessary destruction. That's true, by the way, if you chew cause unnecessary destruction with your teeth, with your hands, or with your speech, right? People who cause unnecessary destruction, Chazal call them suran ra. That's your person like that, or an entity or animal, is bad at its core. Bad at its core. Ten Rabbanan. We'll say, listen to this. Chamisha Dvarim Mishakim Es Halimud. We'll say there are five things which cause a person to forget his learning. Ha'ochel Mimasha Achal Achbar. If somebody eats from something that a mouse ate from. Or as well saying, now by the way, now he begins to understand, what's the pshat with that? That if you eat from something, so essentially, if you eat from something that a mouse ate from, so by definition, again, there's like, there's mouse residue on that. So you both say, I just want to point something out. You know, we don't have time to get into it now, but the post can bring down that what this doesn't refer to is as follows. If I come down to my kitchen, I see that a mouse took a bite out of the loaf of bread, so it just means that I eat from that loaf without cutting off a piece. If I cut off a piece, it's okay, I can eat from the rest of the loaf. We'll say, just to understand, like, what different times we live in, right? If a mouse takes a bite out of anything, right, within a 10-foot radius, right, then what's going to happen? It's out. It's amazing, I will say, the times that we live in. But again, you see, there's a lot of halachic literature about this. Rav Chaim Kanievsky actually has a whole, I saw it recorded in a different sefer, has a whole piece about this, that it's, of course you could cut off the piece of the loaf of bread or the piece of cheese, whatever it is, you could eat from the rest. But I say, the idea is that if you eat from what the mouse eats from, then you ingest that surah ra, the surah ra, you ingest that negative quality of the mouse. And Abbas says, as a result of that, the Kiddusha of Torah cannot reside in a place where there is surah ra. A person who has that negativity inside of them, Torah cannot reside there. Therefore, you forget your learning. Ha'ochel ma'asha ochel akbar, u'mimasha ochel chatul. Also, similarly, again, if you eat from something that a cat eats from, you also forget your learning. Why? Again, I will say, because the cat eats the mouse. Same idea. Va'ochel lev shel behema, if you eat the heart of an animal. Moses, so again, this also seemingly has to do with what? That the heart of an animal, again, the Marsha brings this down, represents the vitality of the animal. So to eat the heart of the animal represents ingesting animalistic tendencies. Torah cannot reside in a person who lives life by animalistic tendencies. A person has to be a ben adam. Varogil bezesim, person who eats olives. And we'll say, we'll discuss this. The Marsha is a beautiful business, which we'll see. Person eats olives. Now, rogil bezesim sounds like person consumes a lot of olives. Vashose, this is actually interesting. Vashose mayim shoshiyure rechitza. Let's listen to this. If you drink bath water, right? If you drink bath water, you also forget them. I think you have other problems also. But if you drink bath water, varochets raglov zu al gabezu, or if a person will say, washes his feet one on top of the other. Now we'll say, now what this sounds like over here is, rechitza zu al gabezu, we'll say, sounds like the way the Kohen did, rechitza siadayim, pishot rechitza siadayim raglayim. That almost, we'll discuss it, but it means, literally it means washing one foot on top of the other. V'yishomrim, af hamaniach kelev tachas merashosav. Well, say, others say, it also, if you put your clothing underneath your head. They will say, I'll just point out, the Mefarshim point out, the Rishonim point out, that this last one is very interesting. Why? Because they will say, I'm sorry? Oh, excellent. What the Kohanim do in the Beis HaMikdash, right? The Mishnah is bringing down that the Kohanim, when they would go to sleep, would fold up their clothing, and they would use their clothing as their pillow. So again, the Mefarshim bring down, this doesn't refer to clothing of Kiddush, it refers to Stam clothing. They will say, just I'll tell you, what's the pshat in this? What's the pshat in this? That if you sleep with your clothing underneath your head, then ultimately again you forget. Rabbi says, so perhaps it's a metaphor. What does it mean? Rabbi says, Kalev, your clothing represents your gashmius. What does it mean? Someone who goes to sleep with Kalev, tachas merashosav. Your rosh is where you think, is your mind. What does it mean when you go to sleep with your clothing underneath your head? Rabbi says, what it means is someone who spends all of their waking and sleeping hours with their clothing on their mind. If at the end of the day I am preoccupied with Gashmius, Gashmius is wonderful. Gashmius is fantastic. There are many positive uses for Gashmius. But if I'm awake, obviously if I'm awake, I think about Gashmius. That we all know. But if even when I go to sleep, Maniach Kelev Tachas Miroshosav, my Gashmius is underneath my head, my Gashmius is on my mind. That's a person ultimately, again, who Meshachim Esalimut. He forgets his learning. Why does he forget his learning? For one simple reason. There's no room for anything else other than his Gashmius. Chamisha Dvarim Ashivin Esalimut. There are five things, I will say, which restore a person's learning. What are they? Pas Pechamin. Bread baked on coals. The coals keep Pechamin Atzman. And all the more so, the coals themselves. That doesn't mean eating the coals. It probably means like I guess maybe inhaling the fumes of the coals. Va'ochel beitza megulgeles below melach. If you eat a roasted egg without salt. Va'rogil b'shemen zayis. And most of that one is actually very interesting. And if a person goes ahead and consumes olive oil. Va'rogil b'yayin uba b'samim. And one who goes ahead and regularly drinks wine and smells b'samim. That's good. That one we could take. Va'shose mayim shol shiyuri isa. If you drink the leftover water after finishing kneading dough, and again, similarly, one who dips his finger in salt and eats the salt. So we'll say if a person goes ahead and eats shemen zayis, then this restores his learning. The same way that too many olives could cause a person to forget his learning even of 70 years. So too, olive oil has the ability to restore learning of 70 years. So we'll say, so now what's very interesting. So olives apparently cause you to forget your learning. Olive oil causes you to remember your learning. So we'll say, what's the pshat? I'll just tell you this very, very, very quickly. So we'll say, and with this we'll end for today. I'll record the parasha thought a little bit later. So listen to this. The Marasha points out to the Rabbosa is as follows. He says that essentially, olive, interestingly enough, in the Shiva Saminim, olives themselves are not really reckoned as the Shiva Saminim. What is reckoned? It's olive oil. Eretz Zeis Shemen Udvash. The idea is so the Mashah says something amazing. The Mashah says that when a person drinks olive oil, see, too many olives represents an overindulgence in Gashmius. Ultimately, again, olive oil represents a connection to the Kiddush of Eretz Yisrael. And when you have a connection to the Kiddush of Eretz Yisrael, then I will say, ultimately, again, any level of connection to the land of Israel, by definition, creates a greater spiritual energy. And where there is a greater spiritual energy, a person has the ability to retain Torah to a greater level. Therefore, one who eats too many olives, that represents an overindulgence in Gashmius. One who consumes olive oil, that represents a connection to Shivas Aminim, represents a connection to Eretz Yisrael, and ultimately, again, serves to foster and to restore one's sense of spirituality and Torah knowledge. Right? So we'll have to stop over here. Again, I will say tomorrow, we're going to do the daf in the afternoon. I'll put out the time a little bit later on the WhatsApp, and we're going to continue. As you can see, the last daf is is very short. So we'll pick up from here. I will do this tomorrow afternoon. This will be the last half of Maseches Arias. I hope to see everyone here. Maybe the Beezer Shir will come here also. Maybe. Okay.
Maybe.
It's nice, beautiful. It's going to be a beautiful day. It's going to be a beautiful day. All right, Rosh Hashkaya.